Well, good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everyone doing? And after that time of worship and prayer, I'm doing a lot better than the way I came in. Amen. I don't know about you, but aren't you excited we serve an unconquered king?
That's right.
Yeah. When the world thought he was defeated at the death on the cross, he proved them wrong by resurrecting from the dead. That's who we serve. We're here for an undefeated king.
That's right.
And his name is Jesus. We're not here just to have a social club or just to get together. We're here because of him. We're here because of the person of Jesus Christ. So glad you all joined us this morning, kicking off a new series called Going Into Your World, all about how we can go into the world and be representatives of Jesus. But I do have to start with, you know, I've had several people say, hey Pastor Eric, how come you don't share jokes anymore? Because I used to share a joke every once in a while, and I said, I'm not anti-jokes. I love laughing in church. But, you know, so I said, well, okay, fine. I promised somebody I'd share some jokes today. And, you know, I had all these jokes about planes, okay, but I just couldn't get any of them to land right. And then I said, well, maybe that doesn't work. So I tried all these sign language jokes, but nobody could hear them. Okay, it's getting worse. But no, we're allowed to laugh and joke in church. You know, I had all these jokes about people who are unemployed, but I just couldn't get any of them to work. So, yeah, that's the level of quality you get from me on a joke. So, don't know why they keep wanting them, but I think from here we can only go up. Amen. I just got back from a Band of Brothers men's conference. Had a group of us from the church. And we were with about just under 500 men in Crown Point, Indiana, just this side of Chicago, for the last 3 days. And all the men getting together from all over the country, churches all over the country, come to this conference. And one of the things I got from the conference was really talking about courage. You know, it's a guys' conference. We're talking about being committed to one another and committed to the mission of Jesus, connecting. And really, the third point was courageous. How to be courageous. And one of the speakers shared how, you know, courage isn't just about a one-time event, right? Often we think of the big battle, the big thing that's coming up, that one-time occasion where we need to be courageous. They said, no, courage is every single day. It's waking up in the morning and choosing to be courageous, choosing to be the best spouse, to be the best father, mother, child, son, daughter, whatever, wherever area you're in, to choose to be the best of the person that you can be. More than just what the world says, but to be courageous is to do what God says to do. Yeah. To truly have courage, especially in this time and culture that we live, we need God's grace and his help to be courageous more than ever. So my hope is that that all of you will leave here today encouraged. That means to have courage put in you to go into your world to make a difference. And the reality is every single one of you can do it. Yeah, there's a verse in Psalm 31. Verse 24 says, so be strong and courageous, all you who put your hope in the Lord. See, we all want to be strong and courageous. Amen? Amen. Anybody not want to be strong and courageous? Yeah, all of us want to be. But it's to all those who put their hope in the Lord. It's not my doing. It's not my strength. It's not my intelligence. It's not me, me, me. It's all about my hope is in Christ Jesus. That's where my strength comes from. That's where my ability to be courageous comes from, is knowing Jesus, knowing who he is. You see, being Christians and our spirituality isn't meant to impress people, right? That's what the Pharisees and the people Jesus was really pretty harsh with. Their spirituality, they were trying to impress people. Look at me. Look how good I am. Look how religious I am. Look how I pray in public so everyone can hear me with these eloquent words. That's never been the case. It's meant to influence and care for the broken and hurting world. Jesus didn't come to impress us. He came to influence and care our brokenness, our hurt, our pain, to bring us into a reconciliation with the Father. You know, something beautiful happens in our lives when we stop leveraging Jesus to get what we want, and we begin to allow him to leverage us to do what he wants. To truly allow him to accomplish what is in his heart through us. It's a beautiful thing. We stop going to God saying, God, here's all my list. Look how good I'm doing. I'm not sinning as much. I'm going to church a couple times a month. Like, God, I'm doing good. Why don't you answer my request? And Jesus is sitting in heaven. I think he's just going, man, there's so much more I want for you, but you're not allowing me access to your life, to every part of your life. Jesus doesn't want you just for a couple hours on Sunday. He wants every hour of your life. He wants you, your all, because he's so worth it. He is so worth it. When we look around the anywhere, any business, and you're probably going to see a help wanted sign. Anybody see this help wanted signs? Right? You need people to come work for you, maybe. The help wanted signs are everywhere. And I thought, what would it look like if Jesus wanted to have a help wanted sign? Just Jesus is hiring heaven customer representatives. People who are going to represent to potential customers of heaven. Right? They're going to be representatives. Now I want to ask, how many of you would qualify? Let's go through some of these. No age limit. All ages apply within. No experience necessary. On-the-job training provided. Any of you qualify? No specific education required. You don't have to have a PhD, a doctorate, a bachelor's. You don't even need to graduate high school. You qualify because there's no specific education required for this position. Any tongue, any tribe, any nation covers us all, right? Must know people and be in a local church. Guess where you all are? In a local church. So you qualify. Everyone's still good? Male or female? You qualify. You are either one or the other. Male or female, you qualify. Those with physical limitations are welcomed. You may have physical limitations. You may say, there's things I can't do, but that still doesn't disqualify you. You can be used by God to represent him in heaven to other people. You know what? This is a really good one. Retirement plan, it's out of this world.
Come on.
It is out of this world. It's so much better than anything this world has to offer. But there's no pay, no vacation, no sick days. Amen. What? No cheer for that? Come on. Right? We don't need to take days off when you're filled with the Spirit every single day. We can keep pressing in to represent him to everybody that comes. Seeking focused individuals that will go into their world and demonstrate God's love to those that are hurting and helpless. Is that what you want to do? You want to seek out those who are missing God's love. They don't know, and they're hurting, and they're helpless. If interested, contact God in prayer, and Holy Spirit will direct you daily. What if our mission was to go into our world each and every day to meet the hurting and the helpless, meet Jesus? And the reality is it takes courage every single day to do that. Courage is to be the same person every day of the week, no matter you're at church, you're at work, you're at school, you're with your family at home, behind where nobody else is looking. It takes courage to be the same person everywhere you go. So being a Christian is not a clock in and clock out thing. It's a way of living our lives. Being vulnerable and real and transparent, but ultimately becoming more like Jesus and less like ourselves. So our big idea today is followers of Jesus will go into their world and make a difference when we see what he sees, feel what he feels, and go where he sends us. We're going to be covering these the next couple weeks to really understand what it means to see people as God sees them, to feel what he feels, and then to go where he sends us. See, I'm not here so Jesus gives me a better life. I'm here so that Jesus can have access to my life for his purposes. You know, what would happen if we left here and we went out into our world filled with the Spirit, seeing people as he sees, feeling what they feel, and going wherever Jesus sends us to go? What would happen? What would happen if Monday through Saturday matters as much to us as it does to God? That we take what we receive here and go out into the world. We use this thing called willpower or can power. I hear a lot of won't power and can't power, and I say, no, you have will power, that you, God will and can use you to expand his kingdom. God can and will use you if you choose to allow him and say, Lord, your will, not my own. There's nothing my God cannot do besides sin. Okay, if you want to be really legalistic, but God can do anything. He can, and he gives us the grace to do all things, everything he asks us to do. God doesn't ask us to do something, not give us the ability to fulfill it. That would be cruel. But I do wonder, what if Jesus were himself were here? What if he was sitting here and we say, hey, Jesus, come on up. We want you to share what's in your heart. What would you say to this room full of great, great people? You know what I believe he'd say? Something like, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are far from my Father. I believe he'd share something like Luke 19:10, that the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. I believe he'd share Luke 4:18 and 19, one of the first things he preached, the first thing he preached in Nazareth, his hometown. They gave him the scroll of Isaiah, and he opened to what we know as Isaiah 61. He read to them that the Spirit of the Lord, the anointing of the Spirit has fallen upon me to preach the good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to heal the sight of the blind, to release those who are oppressed, and to announce the year of the favor of the Lord is here. That's what I believe Jesus would be saying. He'd be saying, you know, when one person responds to me, when one person responds to the gospel and accepts him, he said, all of heaven rejoices. I believe Jesus, he gets to see that. He gets to know that. We don't really see that here on earth as much. But when one sinner repents, as it says in Luke, it says, all of heaven rejoices. All the angels rejoice. There's a celebration in heaven when just one person turns back to God. Are we still rejoicing? Are we still celebrating every single time a person crosses the bridge, is reborn, turns to Jesus? We want to bring as many people as possible here to know him, to be a part of the family of God. Why wouldn't you want to invite somebody to come? Maybe you're doing it on your own. Keep doing it. But most of us, we want to invite people to church because it's really a simple ask. But it takes courage. It takes courage to take an invitation and to give it to someone and say, hey, would you join me? Maybe it's you belong here. Maybe it's come sit with me. I'll sit with you on Sunday. All these invites are on the seats around you. If you want, grab these. I encourage you, take these. These are such an easy way, a tool for you to just invite somebody to join you in church. We want as many people as possible to be a part of the family of God, to have fathers and mothers in the faith, to love them, to encourage them, to give them a experience and wisdom that they've received. We want everyone to have brothers and sisters to do life with. Why wouldn't we want that for as many people as possible? As we get ready to jump in our text in Matthew 9, would you join me as we pray? Father God, I just pray, God, you do a work in each one of our hearts. God, start with us. God, get our eyes off ourselves. Get our eyes off what we want, what our flesh wants. But God, we ask for your courage, your grace, your mercy. God, to see people as you see them. God, may you speak not just to the ears of every person listening, God, but to the hearts. God, we want to have your heart for the lost, your heart for those who are hurting and helpless. God, I pray your Spirit would speak to each of our spirits, that we'd hear from you and have the grace to walk out of here different than the way we came in. It's in your precious name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Well, Matthew 9 is where we're going to spend the rest of our time looking at some stories, and I want to give you some context of the chapter. So Matthew chapter 9 is just chock full of all this amazing stuff. I mean, we don't even have time to summarize it all, but Jesus, it starts off, he heals a paralyzed man. He calls Matthew to be a follower of his, that Matthew, the tax collector, wrote the book of Matthew. There's this little girl raised from the dead. Okay, there's a lady, an older lady, healed from suffering for 12 years. There's two blind men who can now see. They're healed of their blindness. One man who's mute, couldn't speak, is now able to speak. Sounds like a pretty good day to me, right? Some pretty effective, fruitful ministry, would you say? It wasn't all in one day, but in that chapter, there's story after story after story. I'm like, man, Jesus is doing it. But then something shifts. Something else we see alongside of all this amazing stuff Jesus is doing, we see Jesus was accused of blasphemy. In verse 3, they said, who are you to forgive somebody? He said, you be forgiven. They said, who are you? That's blasphemy. They accused him of low morals, hanging out with scum. Matthew, the tax collector, and all of his friends, the notorious sinners, he was accused of having low morals, of ungodliness, of not doing the religious things like the Pharisees were doing. He was accused of working with the devil. They say there's no way he can cast out all these demons unless he's working with the devil, right? He's accused of all these things, and Jesus, he just keeps going. He just keeps going. There's all these things that are going to come into your life to distract you from what God has asked you to do. Do you understand that Jesus faced it? Accusation, false accusation after false accusation, attack, all this stuff to distract him. All these challenges were meant to get Jesus off the mission. Thank God he never lost his way. But we do it so often, right? Things come into our life, people attack us, they accuse us, they try to hurt us, and we can't allow them to get us off the focus of what God has called us to do, to go into our world. We get to verse 35. All this leads up to verse 35, where Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues, announcing the good news about the kingdom. He healed every kind of disease and sickness, every illness. I mean, Jesus is doing really well on his own, right? He can do all these things, but the goal was never for him to be the only one doing it. Which always blows my mind that Jesus could do anything. God could do anything he wants to. He could reach all people if he really wants to, but he wants to. That is his will, but he's not going to do it all on his own. His choice and his plan is using us, using people to reach people. It's not that God can't do it. There's nothing God can't do, but God wants to and chooses to use us to make a difference in other people's lives. There's always going to be distractions, and Jesus, thank God, didn't go, man, they're falsely accusing me. I didn't do those things. I'm not that. I should just give up. Man, this isn't fair. God, this isn't fair. Jesus didn't do that and stop. He kept going every step of the way. But so many of us can get to that place where we say, life's not fair. This isn't right. I shouldn't be facing this, and we quit. We give up. Instead of saying, no matter what comes into my life, we don't give up. There's too much at stake because we believe heaven and hell are real. And there's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That no one comes to the Father except through me. That Jesus is the only way to heaven. There is no other way to get to heaven and stay there. We're all going to be standing before God, but there's only one way to heaven. And heaven and hell are real. There's too much at stake to quit. There's too much at stake to back out when things get tough. We continue in verse 36. He says, when he saw the crowds, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He saw the crowds. He looked upon them. He perceived them, discerned them. He was aware of the people. And you know what he saw? He didn't see a bunch of conservatives or liberals or blacks or whites or old or young. He saw the crowds and he had compassion on them because he saw the state of their fallen nature. That they're confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Do we have compassion for people? Do we look at people? That word compassion, it means a strong and powerful emotion that moves man in the deepest depths of his being. How you're moved on the inside will determine how you move on the outside. A lot of us never allow God to move on the inside of us. Say, God, break my heart for people again. God, break my heart, especially for those who I don't know, who look different than me, who vote different than me. God, break my heart for them. You know, on our best day, we're not going to change people on our own. How many of you have ever really won somebody to a different point of view on a big issue? Most of us probably haven't, or very, very little percentage of success. Because most of us have our convictions. Even if we know they're wrong, we won't admit it. And we continue to dig our feet in, say, I'm not backing down, right? That's where most people are. So we, on our own, have very little hope of changing people. See, we're not meant to change people on our own. We're meant to change people with Jesus, with the Word of God, with the Spirit of God. It's Him who changes people. Our job is to get them connected to Him, to get them to share the Word of God that transforms and renews our minds. It's the Word of God. You can share the Word of God. It's not you changing them, but God's working through you, using His Word to change people, to transform them. See, in this verse, we just get a glimpse of Jesus' heart. You know, He came to seek and save the lost. He came to set the captives free, to heal the blind. He came and He sees people confused and helpless. Problem is, a lot of us just really don't care. We don't care. We look at people and say, well, they got themselves in that mess. I'll be first to admit, I do that times. Well, they got themselves in that mess. Why should I care? Why should it cost me my time, my attention, my money, my effort? They put themselves in that place. Let me tell you, that's wrong. Because you know what happens? What God reminded me of this week? He said, Eric, you remember how many times you got yourself in a mess? You remember the messes that you continually went back to week after week after week, time after time after time? God speaks to me. He says, how dare you not have compassion on other people when I had compassion on you? How dare you not forgive other people when I have forgiven you? How dare you hold something against other people when I've set you free from all of your stuff? And I know he's not just speaking that to me. But every one of us needs to remember what God has done in our lives. Say, how dare we hold that back from somebody else? How dare we not have compassion for other people? I'm not trying to beat you up, but it's a shift of conviction when God changes, flips the script. Guess what? You've been in your own messes enough. You're not a victim on your own. You've done your own stuff you've done to yourself. And he speaks to us and he says to us that beyond all the labels, beyond all the stuff that's on the outward, Jesus sees us in light of heaven, lost and found. Where are they? Far from my Father. And his heart is just to draw people close to his Father. It's his heart for every one of us to see people not as the messes they are, but to see and say, I know they're in a mess. I know they're in addiction. I know they're in their own stuff, but we still love them and care for them and have compassion for them. You know, I want to cry over what Jesus cried about. Jesus cried over his Jerusalem and Lazarus' death. You know, he cried over Jerusalem because the state of the city, the state of the people. And I believe we've maybe gotten away from crying for our city. We all want to change the world, but it starts with right where you are. When was the last time we cried over Murrysville, the people, the state of the people, over Plum, over Monroeville, Export, Delmont, Greensburg, Jeanette, Penn Township, Harrison City, Vandergrift, Apollo? I don't want to leave anybody out, but you get the picture. Oh, it's all of us, right? When are we going to cry over the city again, the state of people? Not say, wow, look at that, and talk bad about it. Say, oh my, look how bad it's gotten. Those people are hurting. They're confused. They're helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And that should move us on the innermost parts to have compassion for them, to love them, to say, you know what, I'm going to pray about that. I'm going to pray for that politician. I'm going to pray for those leaders. I'm going to pray for those people who are on the news. I'm going to pray for them and have compassion for them. Still stand for truth. Never back down from the truth. But we can love people into the kingdom much better than we can convince them that they're wrong and we're right. Jesus wept over Lazarus' death. The shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35, says Jesus wept. I personally don't believe he wept because Lazarus died, because I think Jesus is omniscient. He knows what was going to, I believe he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. I think there's a whole plan he had, because he said there's a whole plan so that you guys would know the glory, right? He understand it. So I don't believe Jesus wept for Lazarus, but what I do believe, he wept because of Mary and Martha's pain. Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, they were weeping and wailing for 4 days. They said, Jesus, if only you'd been here, you could have saved him. And I believe that moved Jesus, that when somebody close to him, like Mary and Martha, were weeping and in pain, he was moved. He had compassion for them, and it caused Jesus to weep. Are we weeping for the city, for the people, and are we weeping for those who are close to us? Feeling the pain, having the same pain that other people are feeling. You know what's interesting about sheep? You know, he says they're like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep actually can get flipped upside down pretty easily. And when they do, they're not always able to flip themselves back over. That sheep often they fall on a hillside or not by a rock. And I didn't quite believe this when I first read it, so I found multiple sources that said sheep get caught upside down quite often. And you look at them, and they're flailing around. And they can't get up unless somebody comes along and just gives them a little push. I actually watched a tutorial video of a shepherd. He says, just give them a little touch. If you come along a sheep in your day-to-day walk, right? He says, that's the way he says, if you come along a sheep, just give it a little roll. Get it started in the right direction. And it'll pop back up and run off until the next time it falls over. But what happens, it's really dangerous when sheep get upside down, they're flailing all around. It says the gas builds up inside them. I know it's more information than you want to know. But the gas builds up inside them, and it says there's no way for it to escape, and they die. or a predator can come along and easily attack them, right? They can't get away and be in the safety of the herd. And we think about this with sheep, but the reality is it's so much like us. Where we see people who are flipped over by life. They've been knocked down. They're upside down. They're flailing around through the cares of life, and they're struggling. And if somebody doesn't come along and give them a nudge, a little encouragement, a predator's going to come, the world's going to come attack them, or they're just going to die in their own mess. The good news is we all have that ability to come along somebody, a brother, a sister, and just say, hey, I'm going to give you a little nudge, a little encouragement. A little encouragement goes so far to just love people. Instead of talking about all the negativity and the junk in the world, let's focus on what Jesus has done. Right? Let's focus on the good. Not saying to completely avoid it all and ignore it and be oblivious to it, because the problem is still there. But man, let's focus and share with one another what God is doing in our lives and give that little nudge. Hey, you know what? You can do this. You can be a good husband. You can be a good father. You can be a good, came from a men's conference, so we'll focus on the men. But you know, you can do this. You could be a good mom. You have what it takes. Amen. And sometimes we need some help along the way. So let's be those people that come alongside each other and give each other a little push. I said a little push, not a big one, okay? Just to be clear. Some of you are like, oh, this is my chance. But compassion, it doesn't have to approve. This is very important, but it does need to accept. God accepts all people. Doesn't matter what mess they're in, doesn't matter what lifestyle. God accepts them. He wants them to come to him. He doesn't approve of them all. He doesn't always approve of their lifestyles. This is a big distinction. The world's saying, would you just accept me as I am? Would you just accept? And they're using the word acceptance as a big key word right now in the culture. And what they mean by it is approval. Well, if you don't approve of me, then you don't accept me. And I say, no, I can accept you how you are, but I also love you enough that I want you to change. To become more like Jesus and less like yourself. It's not what I decide, it's what he decides. It's what God has said the standards are. It's not Pastor Eric's rules, it's loving people though, loving people enough that you'll help them change with the word of God, with the spirit of God, with the truth of God's word. We don't change people, but we encounter them to Jesus who will change them. Knowing his love, showing his love. You know, if we lose our why or lose our way, it's his love that's the why and the way. His love overcomes all things. Love isn't approval, but is acceptance. It is acceptance. We accept people. It doesn't matter where they are in their walk. We want as many people as possible to step foot in these doors. Because it may be the best place they come to hear the gospel and the word of God that can change and transform their life. I've heard people say, oh, they would never come. Those are exactly the type of people that need to be here. Never think somebody's too far for God, because guess what? You weren't. So as many people as possible, give them an invite. Shoot them a text. Invite them to have lunch with you after they come to church. Whatever it takes, get people to come hear the good news. Let's continue. He said to his disciples, Jesus speaking to them, he says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. That word send means to throw, to cast out, to catapult and push forward. See, we don't have a harvest problem. We have a worker problem, right? Say like amen, everywhere else has worker problems, but the kingdom of God has a worker problem. Jesus even said, he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray and ask for more workers to be sent, to be catapulted, to be pushed out. And I believe that's what our job here on Sunday, it's like drawing back the bow and you're about to be launched forward, a giant catapult. You're here going back, say, okay, I'm getting ready, get in the direction. Where are we headed? Which way are we going? Then be launched and catapulted out into the world to represent Jesus to those who are hurting and helpless. What if we catapulted you out every Sunday? Every Sunday, thinking about launching you out, not on the 22, that's dangerous, but launching you out into the world, right? Because Monday through Saturday matters. I don't believe we're just supposed to see people get saved on Sunday. No, no, every single day of the week, we can see people get saved, set free, healed, encouraged, filled up, lifted up. Man, the people need it. You need it, amen? That's why we have small groups. That's why we get together with other people. We get together and have lunch or dinner or coffee. Like, we all need it together. How much more do other people who don't know Jesus need it in their lives? But you know, one of the most amazing things to me about how easy this is. I think we make evangelism this big program, or we have to schedule it and go do it this time, but evangelism is you just inviting people to church. Why don't we just start with that? You know how I got saved? Obviously, it was a work of the Holy Spirit, but it took one person, Renee Helsley, who invited me to church. She said, "Hey, Eric, what are you doing Sunday?" I said, "I don't know, probably sleeping, working, doing something." She goes, why don't you join me and come to church? I was like, She goes, "I'll sit with you." That made a big difference to me. I said, "Oh." Then she shared, "My husband's in a wheelchair. We sit in the front. So if you don't feel comfortable, I'll sit further back with you or get somebody else." I said, "I got nothing better to do. Might as well go to church," right? That day, everything changed for me. Every single thing changed in my life. The old, selfish, filthy, disgusting Eric died that day. I was put to death that day all because somebody invited me to church. But I didn't stay buried. I rose again, resurrected through the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything changed for me. I'm forever grateful for her because she didn't change me, but she invited me to church. And God changed my heart. And then, thinking of, man, the people I've got to be a part of their lives, the people I've helped walk across the bridge to life, to move from death to life, and all the stuff that God's used me to do and the years I've been saved. And I go, man, she was a part of that. She got to be a part of touching so many more people's lives because she invited me to church. She didn't argue with me a doctrine or theology. She didn't tell me she was right and I'm wrong. She didn't tell me I was a wicked, evil sinner. She just said, "Hey, come to church. Join me." And I just said, "Yes." It's that simple. It's so, so simple to just invite somebody to join you on a Sunday morning. You see, the harvest is brought in, right? We go out, we get people, and we can bring them in. You have relationships with people already in your life. Invite them to come to church. Get it out of your head, whatever's in your head with all the distractions, all the reasons why you can't do it, and say, "No, I'm going to do this. I'm going to invite people because heaven and hell are real, and God wants to change their life." You know, the reality is people want the real gospel.
That's true. Come on, man.
People want to know the truth. We put this barrier and think, well, people don't want this. I'm like, who wouldn't want this? Who wouldn't want life-giving freedom and eternal life in Jesus Christ, a better way to live than anything I ever experienced in my life before? All the partying, all the stuff, all the physical pleasures, all that junk of the world never satisfied me an ounce compared to what Jesus has fulfilled me. Everybody wants it. They just don't know it yet. Everybody wants to experience God, to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit, walking by the Spirit. They just don't know it. And it's not their fault. And maybe you're here and you say, "I don't really have all that." And well, you're in the right place. Because we want God to move in your heart, to show you and help you understand what it means to live this life as a Christian, a true follower of Jesus. It's not just about Sunday morning. We're not just a club. It's so much bigger than that. It's so much bigger than us. It's so much bigger than even us in this room. We want as many people as possible to begin a relationship with God and become fully devoted followers of Jesus. Will you be a representative to help that happen? We be a representative to all those people who say, I need something more in my life. Before we go tell everybody what we want to say, let's listen to people. Let's hear where they're at. Meet them where they are. Jesus often went to where people were, and then he brought them with him. He didn't say, "Well, I'm just going to sit in the synagogue and wait till everyone shows up." Jesus was going town to town, village to village, synagogue to synagogue. He went all the towns and villages, and he preached wherever he went. He healed wherever he went. He brought people to him. He went to where they are. We can't just sit back and say, "Well, waiting for people to see the sign and wander in." That helps somewhat, but the reality is we all need to go into our world and reach people. And it's really simple. It's really simple because heaven and hell are real, so that's what's at stake. Matthew 10 is the next verse at the end of Matthew 9. Jesus called his 12 disciples together. He gave them the authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and sickness. Jesus wants to create God moments in our everyday lives. Do you believe that? Many of you probably know that moment that came. Maybe it's been a while, maybe it's recent, where like, man, I really feel like I should go talk to that person. Or maybe I should stop on the side of the road for that person. Or maybe I should buy this person something. I don't know, I get that often where I feel like God's nudging me to like, man, just say something nice to this person who's crying in the grocery store. I think if we're looking for it, God will show us where they are. The problem is we're so focused on my agenda, my schedule, my stuff, we don't see all the people around us. Rather than saying, no, God, waking up every day, God, give me the courage to see the one you have for me today. God, give me the courage not just to see them, but then to go as you lead, to maybe pray for them, maybe talk to them, maybe just give them an encouragement, maybe to pull this out of your purse or your pocket or grab it out of your car and go, hey, would you join me for church on Sunday? Use what God's given us. Use our tools, because God makes these moments through our everyday lives. It's us taking the step of courage to walk it out. Here's a convicting question. If God answered all of your prayers this week, would I have a better life, or would those around me be better off? Our prayers should be outward focused. You can pray for stuff for yourself. Pray for your family. Pray for things you know God wants that are good in your life. I'm not saying don't do that, but we often stop there. The list of demands or requests we want from God, instead of saying, no, God, I want to pray for lost people. God, give me a heart to pray for those who are far from you. Because I believe that's what's in Jesus' heart. He's praying and believing that we're going to pray and go to those who are far from him. We're called to do this. We're called, but not only called, he says he gives us the authority, the exousia power. He delegated power like the power a police officer has. He said he gives us that authority, but we go representing him. I have the authority that Jesus has given me. It's not my authority, right, as we just sang this morning. It's his authority. You go in his authority, not your own. It's one of the primary reasons Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit was to reach those far from God, to bring them to Jesus. I want our church to be more like Jesus. How about you? Amen. Any of you want to be more like Jesus? Yes. 10 of you, 12 of you, 15. Can I get 20? Can I get 30? But John 3:16 and 17, you may have heard this once or twice. This is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Amen? But I love 17. Because God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. You catch that? He didn't come to condemn the world. He didn't come to point an accusing finger at them and say, you wicked, evil. No. He came. Jesus was sent into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world. That the world could be reconciled to the Father through Christ Jesus. See, Jesus wants to make us the way we ought to be. Again, I can't emphasize that we don't change people. We just bring them to Jesus and let him do the work. Right? We can't change people. You can't change your spouse. You can't change your coworker. You can't really change them in any major way, a spiritual way, but God can, and he can through you, but it's a work of the Holy Spirit. And it starts with us seeing those around us the way Jesus sees, seeing where they are, seeing who they are, that they're not the person that, just because their outward habits say something, that's not who they are. Their identity is not their sexuality. Their identity is not what preference or what way they vote or what they do. It's their identity is either in Christ or it's not. And that should matter to us. And we want everyone to be identified as followers of Jesus. So going into our world, I'm going to give you four things. You can write these down, take a picture, whatever you got to do. This is your homework for this week. To write down, where do you live? What's your address? What do you do? Where do you work? Maybe where do you go to school? Maybe you don't work anymore. Write out, what's your city? What's your Jerusalem? What circles of influence do you have? Maybe what community you live in, or what committees you're a part of, or what group of friends you have. Who are the people and what are their names? See, more than, it's easy just to pray for Murraysville, but we all have people, and the people have names. The names are important to God. The book of life, the list of names that are written, and we all have to write down those names and read through them and pray for them. each and every day. So this is your homework. Write down where you live, what you do, where you work, what people do you have influence in. Write down their names, pray for them, and then invite them to church. Maybe they live far away. Maybe invite them to get connected to a local church near them. Send them to the online, bridgecitypgh.com, to start watching somewhere. We hear of people in out of town that watch online every single week. Maybe they don't have a Bible preaching church in their area. But this is our homework. Matthew 10, 1, as I just read a little bit ago, in a different translation, the Message translation, actually verses 1 through 4. It just puts a little different perspective on that verse. And it says, the prayer was no sooner answered. He's saying, pray for the Lord of the harvest and for more workers to be sent out. Then it was answered. Jesus called 12 of his followers. He sent them into the ripe fields. He gave them power to kick out the evil spirits and to tenderly care for the bruised and hurt lives. This is the list of the 12 he sent. The 12 that were sent were listed. Who will be listed in our church? Will you be listed as one that's sent out? Sent out into your world to go reach the lost. It's so much simpler than we make it. You have the ability to do it. You can do this. And I'm encouraging you, giving you courage to go out and be a difference maker in the world. To share the hope of the gospel. If you say, I want to be sent out, that's me. I know I need to be sent from here, catapulted out of here. I'm asking you to stand to your feet. Because I'm going to pray for you. If you don't want to be sent, don't stand. It's okay. I'd rather you do what you say you're going to do than not do what you're going to say you're going to do. We're going to send you out of here today with the power and authority of Jesus Christ, knowing that you can go reach people, lost people, people far from God, to have the same heart of Jesus, to see people as he sees them, and even just invite them to church, to pray for them, to love them, to encourage them, to come alongside them and give them a little push back on their feet. Before we do, I have one very important question. Maybe you were invited here today, not really sure why you came. Maybe you've been coming for a while and you're like, I don't really know where my place is. Well, maybe your next step is to begin a relationship with God the Father because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It's your choice whether you accept him or not. But Jesus, he died on the cross, was buried in the ground. 3 days later, he rose from the dead to set you free, to forgive you of every bad thing you've ever done, every sin you've ever done, everything you've ever thought that you know is just probably not the best thing to think. He died so that all that could be wiped away clean, so that you could be washed and cleansed, made white as wool. It's really simple. If you feel God moving in your heart, maybe you're not sure why, I believe it's God saying, come to me. Begin a relationship with me. This isn't religion and works. It's a relationship with God the Father. If you're here today, I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I know I need to begin a relationship with God, or I need to figure this out. We just want to pray for you right where you are. But we want to know who you are so we can identify you and pray for you. Anybody here, don't miss this opportunity. Say, I need to begin that relationship today. Just slip up your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we just pray right now. God, for anybody here who maybe is just not sure of where they stand with you. Maybe they're flailing through life like a sheep upside down. And God, they just want a little help, God, to get back on their feet. God, we pray for those who are just lost, confused, and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. God, we just pray for them right now, God, that they would be not just sit back and wait idly, but God, they would know and speak to somebody to begin that relationship with you, God, that changes everything. It changes everything, that their old self would die and they can begin walking as a new creation in Christ Jesus. God, I pray for every single person here. If you just say, I want to be sent out of here. I know you stood to your feet, but I just ask that you lift up your hands because I want to pray for you. We say, Father God, I pray for every single person with their hands stretched out to you. God saying, send us. Here we are. Use us as your people to go out into the dark world to bring the light to those who are far from you. God, we ask for your Holy Spirit to fill us once again. God, we know it's not our authority. We know it's not our ability or our just ourselves. But God, we want to go with you. Wherever you go, send us when we go where you go. Father, I pray for your anointing on every single person here. God, your anointing to see people as you see them. God, to see people as lost and broken and hurting people, like sheep without a shepherd. God, wreck our hearts for what breaks yours. God, break us once again and send us forth, God, as we look to see those around us. Lead us to them, Father, so that you could be glorified, so that your kingdom could expand. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, church, let's worship.